Hey everybody, welcome back to the Hawkins Hellfire Collective. I'm Zach Grubb.
And I'm Devin Grubb.
And today we are talking about Season 4, Episode 7, The Massacre at Hawkins Lab. Most likely Part 1, because there's way too much to talk about in this for one episode.
Did you wait to open your beer on purpose?
No, but now I feel like I should leave that sound in.
It was just timed so perfectly.
Well, then I'm leaving that in.
Yeah, but anyway, this episode is long. It's long. This is the episode before part two of the season happens. And it was like an hour and 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Which, when you're doing this after your toddler goes to bed, is long.
It's long. It was basically our entire
night. It was our entire night, because if you think about it, we didn't really start watching it until like 9:15.
No,
which meant that it was after 11.
We get about 2 hours every night to be adults. And this ate the entire 2 hours.
I mean, it's a good episode, and it didn't feel terribly long, but it's long.
It's long. And it starts with them demi-bats getting in Steve's belly. It is insane that he walks this off.
I'm just gonna say it. I love Steve. We are huge Steve fans in this household.
We stan Steve.
But I'm sorry, if Steve survived that attack, Eddie should have survived his too. Or at least, like, you know, I don't know.
Eddie got attacked by a few hundred bats, not two.
It was a lot, but he also had a lot more protective clothing on.
It's true.
Like, I will die on this hill.
Oh, I know. I'm not arguing. I'm not arguing. I know better than to argue about this.
Steve was, like, essentially naked. Steve was naked. He was being strangled. They were eating his stomach in two different places. And he's just gonna get up and walk away.
Like, they had to have taken a chunk of ab with them. Like, were deep bites.
We talk about it later on in the episode, but, like, he does start to, like, pass out because he's losing too much blood. Like, okay, maybe he got to walk around a little bit.
I want to hold on to my shirt tourniquet joke, so let's not go too deep.
Sorry. Okay. Anyway.
I was very impressed by both Eddie and Robin, who don't flinch for a second.
No, they're just there.
Yeah, they're there, and it's the upside down, and it's their first time there, and they're just like, let's do this. Like, let's get these guys. Eddie straight up kills one of the bats.
Yes, he does.
Robin was playing a lot more support, but, like, she was in it too.
They were all in it. Improvised weapon or bats.
Nobody was like, "Oh, this is terrifying. I'm gonna piss myself and run." Like, no, they went for it.
Well, I think at that point, like, they see that these things are attacking their friend, and they're like, they don't let themselves be scared. Right away, they don't let themselves be scared until after the fact.
Which is very funny, because Eddie is like, "Oh, I see danger. I turn the other way." It's like, No, you didn't. He did earlier in the day. You did previously, but, like.
But I mean, at this point, he's seen some weird shit more than once.
Yeah.
You know, he saw Chrissy was murdered in his trailer, and then he essentially witnessed the same type of murder while he was on the lake. So he's seen some shit. So I feel like, you know, these bat things, it's just like, okay, let's just add this to the list of weird things in my life right now.
He didn't like that.
What?
Chrissy, I don't like this. Chrissy.
No, he didn't like it. He didn't like it. I don't like this.
So I actually had an interesting thought here, because we get a shot of the upside down panning out, mm-hmm. and we see the particles up close. And they kind of look like skin flakes. And that had me thinking, if the upside down reflects Vecna, mm-hmm. are the particles in the upside down ash, or are they pieces of burned skin? Or both?
Or both. It could be both. Could absolutely be both.
Because as we see towards the end of the episode, like, when he gets sent to the Upside Down...
He's very fiery.
He's basically burned into it. His skin is, like, flayed off into ash.
And then the Upside Down itself, when he first gets there, is very fiery. There's, like lightning. It's, like actual, like...
It seems hot.
Now it's cold.
To reflect his cold heart. No, I don't know why that is.
Why is it cold now when it was hot before? Anyway, Steve has mortal wounds, but that's fine. And Robin is only worried about rabies.
Yeah, Robin is very concerned about rabies. Which is fair. Rabies is terrifying.
Yeah, it is.
Have you ever read about like what happens if you have rabies?
It's horrifying.
It is absolutely terrifying.
It's a death sentence too. Like you're not coming out of that.
Well, it's also like one of the most unpleasant deaths ever.
Yeah.
Like your senses get switched. Yeah. That's horrifying.
We're not here to talk about rabies.
Yeah. If you get bit by an animal you don't know, I just go get a rabies shot. Don't even play with it. Go get a rabies shot.
But anyway, the Demobats start to kind of come back, so they're just like, all right, we're gonna... Oh, no, they're guarding the gate, so they can't get back through. So they're like, all right, what are we gonna do? Let's run to the woods! And that's what they do.
Yes. Then we see Torture Guy.
American Torture.
Poor Torture Guy.
Good old USA. He gives them away.
Yes. Yeah. Well, look at him. Like, I know. Come on.
They've been frying his insides.
Yeah. Like,
for like, you know, at least 2 days.
Yeah. His skin is burned off. Like, he's all puffy. Like, oh man, that poor dude.
Yeah.
It's amazing he lasted as long as
he did.
It is. You hate to see it.
Yeah.
Ugh.
And then we go to the Nina Project from there.
Yeah. The Nina Project continues to infuriate me.
Because Brenner understands... Because Brenner and Owens have a conversation. And he's... And because Owens is like, you know, we're running out of time. This is like, I don't think this is working. You know,
I don't see results. I see a poor traumatized little girl. A
scared little girl. And Brenner's like, you wrote it down. I
understand the stakes quite well.
He does understand the stakes. He doesn't care.
Yeah.
He's doing this for himself.
Yeah. And that is something I don't think Owens ever understood.
Yeah.
He never understood that he was working with a monster.
No.
Like, it didn't dawn on him just how disgusting Brenner was.
Yeah.
And I have to assume... Because in season 2, he says, like, he's been privy to all of the previous experiments and stuff. I have to assume that he wasn't given everything. Otherwise, he would have known this.
No, I feel like he really only knew about 11. I feel like everybody really only knew about 11.
That's true.
Brenner avoided what happened.
Yeah, I talk about that too.
Which I feel like that's probably why... Nobody else knows about any of the other kids. Nope. You know what I mean?
Like, well, I mean, I don't think they did. I think in order to have the Nina Project do anything, they were probably brought up to speed at least to a certain point. Because Owens does know who One is. He knows who Vecna is.
Maybe just about. But I don't know.
Yeah. But I don't think he knew that when he was in charge in season 2. No, that's what I'm saying.
No, yeah.
Yeah, he definitely was not made privy to all this information. Otherwise, he would have known from the get-go he was working with a monster.
Yeah.
So,
who also feeds 11 lies about how, like, it's her choice to be here and she's always free to go if she wants to. But later on in the season.
Earlier in the season
and later on, I think it's in the very in the piggyback or the next episode, you know, it's a problem.
Armed guards.
She wants to leave. Yeah.
Yeah, this place is not a prison.
It's not a prison.
Sure, buddy. That's why armed guards are stopping her from leaving every time she tries to leave.
Right, every time she makes the choice to go and help her friends. Oh, no, you can't, because I'm not done with you.
Yeah. So, you know, he realizes he has to use the final tape, and clearly he's been avoiding it, because he goes to grab it, and his, like, hand shakes, and he stops, and then he picks it out. And I don't think this is because he's trying to protect 11 from anything. He's just selfish. That's all there is to this. And I feel like this comes up later. I had,
Well, it's also, you know, yes, him being selfish, but this also is a, this reflects poorly on him.
Yes.
Because he let this happen.
Right. Okay. So I found this wasn't supposed to come up until later, but I feel like it bolsters this point really well. Owens asks him, how far ahead are you going when they put 11 in the tank again? And it's literally the next day. It's
the next
day. So not very far. Next day.
Yeah.
Like, it's the next day. 11 has had a concussion for about a day because of what those other kids did to her. Mm-hmm. So he's just been selfish this entire time.
Yeah.
He was this close to the final tape and getting the results, but that's not how he frames it. He's like, oh, I'm doing this because you forced my hand. Like, no, dude, you didn't
want to get this far because you don't want people to see you in a bad light.
Right. Well, you also could have brought this tape out a long time ago. Yeah. You could have.
Yeah.
You filled this with superfluous information because you didn't want to have to show that tape. You wanted her to find her powers before that happened.
Yeah.
Awful. Awful human being, this Brenner. I don't trust this fella.
And well, and then we go from one awful human being to really, really dumb human beings.
I'll call them awful. I hate these guys.
At the meeting of the mindless at the Wheeler's house where the lovely cops are questioning our good friends. They're stupid. They're all dumb.
They're so stupid.
They're all dumb.
And it's very funny. It's very funny. Because they're coming up with these terrible, terrible cover stories. Just a little night swim.
And everybody's buying it except for Erica.
The couch is on fire. The facts.
The fire is consuming us.
Just a little night swim. Dusty Buns going for a little night swim. God. And was Nancy there with you? Yes. No.
No. Oh. But it's interesting to me that they question the three of them. But they let Jason run amok.
Yeah, they're like ready to put these kids on house arrest.
Right. Yet Jason incited a riot at their, like, you know.
And they're just going to let him walk away.
Their town meeting. And it's like, yeah, okay, that's fine. You did that. That's cool. You can go ahead and be on your merry way. But you three, no, we're going to question you. And they start with Max.
Terrible idea, really, to start with Max.
Yeah.
Like, that is the person you are least likely to get information out of.
Mm-hmm.
Not for nothing. Even if she wasn't, like, on the chopping block from Vecna, Max is going to flip you off and tell you to eat shit. Like
Dustin might have the brains, but Max is, like, Dustin's book smart. Lucas is book smart. Max is street smart. So she's, you know... I'm not saying she's not book smart either. Like, she's smart, too. They're all smart. But, like, Max has more of that, like, that streetwise.
Yeah.
Like, she's like, you're not going to get anything from me. Like, what are you? Okay, fine. Question me.
Like, if she called a cop a pig, I'd be like, yeah, that's Max.
That makes sense. Yeah. And then we're back to the upside down, right?
Yeah.
This is Hawkins with monsters and nasty shit.
Yeah, pretty much. Don't step on the don't step on the vines. They're all connected.
Shit.
It's the delivery of that line is incredible. It's so like nonchalant. I'm so tired of this.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even like, oh shit. It's like, shit.
you wrote more about this than I did because I was just going on another tangent about the parallels between Steve and Eddie's injuries.
Well, I talked about that too a little bit because he's bleeding out and it's like Nancy rips off a piece of her shirt and is like, let me make a shirt tourniquet for your abs. And then Boo Boo's all better. We never talk about this again.
Yeah, he's magically fine.
He's fine now. You were bleeding out, but a shirt tourniquet around your gaping wounds on either side of your torso, you're going to be okay, bud.
Okay.
You're fine.
Nancy heals you.
Yep. With the power of love and shirts. Then Eddie tosses him his jacket for his modesty.
For your modesty, dude.
Like, he's just tired of looking at him without a shirt. Very funny.
I didn't realize how angry this was going to make me coming up to the end of the season.
I knew. I knew how angry this was going to make you.
Oh, man. Okay. All right. Then we're back to the motherland. Meanwhile, in the motherland, we're waiting to be fed to a Demogorgon.
And the sweetest thing about this is that Hop's about to fight a Demogorgon, and he's just worrying about Eleven.
And this, I wrote the quote down.
Yeah.
He's like giving kind of like, you know, another soliloquy about, this time he's talking about like his connection with Eleven and everything. And he says that what we're going to fight is tied to something that wants to kill L. And I didn't think about it until we started doing this. It is tied to something that wants to kill L. It's tied to Vecna, and Vecna is one, and one wants her done.
Yep.
So it does all kind of, you know, come back together. I'm doing a weird thing with my hands and no one can see it.
Yeah, it almost looks like you're playing Cat's Cradle.
I'm sorry.
That's fine. You do you. Half the time when I'm recording my scripts, I'm going like this. You can't see it. I'm making Italian hand motions.
But yeah, so that Vecna, he tied to Vecna. Vecna has it out for her. So they all know. They like know that the stuff in the upside down has it out for her. They don't know why, but we know why.
Yeah, we all know why.
We know why.
We're all listening to this podcast. We know what's up.
They'll find out next season, hopefully.
I mean, I'm sure they've been informed by the end. You don't think they've had that sidebar conversation? Like, oh, this is what's going on.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh my God, it's so much funnier if they haven't. Because that means that they all walk out at the end of the season to see, like, all of the portals converging. And Hop and Joyce are just looking at it like, what the hell is going on? Because no one's informed them.
I'm confused now. I feel misinformed. I mean, like, we know that it's tied to Vecna.
Yeah.
I'm saying they don't know that it's tied to Vecna.
They do by the end of the season.
Do they?
Well, when you say they, who are you referring to?
The kids do.
Yeah.
The adults, I'm assuming, don't.
Yeah, that's why I think it's funnier if nobody, like, fills them in before that final scene.
Oh, okay.
Because there's these big gaping portals.
Lots of people seem not informed about a lot of things that happened.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I think we're meant to assume that these things are talked about once everyone reunites.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? If they haven't, that's even better.
And our Murray and his crew.
Yeah, I forgot Murray put the glasses on Yuri.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, but that is incredibly funny. And I was like tickled pink.
They like, successfully giggled.
Yeah.
Well,
come on. It's Murray's plan. When have Murray's plans never worked?
Murray's plans are great. Because he's...
Except when he got...
Well, that was not that...
Well, his plan was to leave his Russian buddy by himself while he got a corn dog. Which was
both of them.
Not the best move.
He was getting a corn dog for both of them.
Yeah, now Alexi's dead.
R.I.P. Alexi.
R.I.P. Alexi. Forever. Justice for Alexi.
Justice for Alexi. Forever in our hearts. Moment of silence. Okay! They get into the prison, and now we are back to the Nina Project. Where we are just straight up in,
Well, this is after Eleven gets thrown around.
Yes, this is
the day after. As a reminder, it was literally the next day, even though, you know, Asshat McGee is pretending like, oh, I've been saving this tape.
But he has all of them in the same room where they had their fight thing. And he's saying what happened to Eleven, and the
two
gives himself away.
He calls her clumsy.
He like says that she's clumsy and weak and stupid, and like is like laughing about it. And his little cronies are laughing about it. And it's like, dude, you just told him that you did it. Not that he didn't know that you did it anyway, like, you're kind of the only one that would do that, but You told him without telling him.
And he's yelling like, did she tell you that? She's lying.
And it's like, the more you freak out, dude, the more the worse you look. The more obvious it is that you were the one who did this. If you would have just kept your mouth shut, he would have known it was you. But
you probably wouldn't have gotten collar shocked.
Right. To the extent that you got collar shocked.
Sure.
I mean, he probably would have collared him so that he couldn't do anything. But, like, that would have just been his punishment. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know that he would have shocked him into oblivion like he did.
So, interestingly, you get to see Peter's face for a minute. Like, just for a second while that collar gets taken out.
Yeah.
And he looks terrified. Yeah. Now, we know how good of an actor this guy is. Both the actor and the character.
Jamie Campbell Bauer.
Yes, incredible. So good. But I think this was genuine. Because Vecna can't help but give himself away sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
He acts like he's this apex predator above anything human, especially emotion. But we see fear and anger in him all of the time. Fear and anger? We see. Sorry. But, like, we see that from him.
Suffering.
Oh, there you go. We see that from him, and it's so... What's the word? Like, I don't have the right word, but I want to say, like, kitschy.
That's not the right word.
It's this villain who's like, I am above humanity. But he's always angry and afraid. And it's like, no, you're not, bud. Like, come on. It's very funny. He's such a hypocrite, as every villain in every 80s movie is.
I mean, it doesn't happen often, though.
It doesn't happen often, but it happens.
Then where are we?
Steve and Eddie spend some time connecting.
Their little moment. That's good. That's great. Their little moment in the woods and they're walking together.
There's a real Ozzy move you pulled back there.
Steve has no idea
who Ozzy Osbourne is. Which is funny. Like, I feel like
Ozzy Osbourne was metal. That's all I'm saying.
Like, that's very funny to me, because I thought when Ozzy Osbourne bit the head off of a bat...
That was widely known.
Yeah, I thought that was, like, national news. Like, it was, oh my god, this person bit the head off of a bat on stage. Like, I thought it was part of, like, the cultural zeitgeist after it happened.
I thought so.
But maybe that's just me as somebody who didn't live through that time who knows that, and, like, it's information that's spread.
Well, also, like, so... I understand if you didn't listen to that kind of music, but wouldn't you still have been aware of it?
Maybe not. That's what I'm saying.
Because, I mean, Black Sabbath came out in the 70s, and Ozzy went solo.
Well, how many country musicians can you name off the top of your head?
I stand corrected.
Yeah, if it's not your genre...
Blake Shelton. There you go.
I'm just saying, I thought that it was, like, regardless of the music, that you knew that happened.
Right. Because that was such a big thing. Because it's on, like, I'm aging myself. You remember, like, on VH1 when they had, like, the I Love the 80s, I Love the 90s, yes. Those shows?
But, like,
that was always on there.
But
so
those
that
shows were
think,
around when we were kids.
No, I know, but they were talking about, like, big moments that happened. In those years.
And I'm sure that was a big moment for, like, the metal community. I'm just wondering if maybe...
Well, I'm saying, because I feel like because it was such a moment that they're going to put it in, like, a retrospective of the decade of the 80s. I thought that meant that it was, like, big for everything, not just for, like, the metal community, you know?
I agree.
Because they typically talked about, like, things that were, like, pop culture things, you know, newsworthy things, stuff like that. So, like, I thought they were talking about things that everybody knew about. Like, you were just saying, like, that this was a thing that everybody knew of.
I thought that, too. I'm wondering now, though.
Maybe it wasn't.
Maybe not. Maybe.
It was only, like, a metalhead thing.
Right. But you know what? During that time with, like, the satanic panic and everything going on, and they dwelled on that at the beginning of the season,
mm-hmm.
It probably was. It's very weird that Steve doesn't know this.
He just doesn't care.
out if you care or not, hey, this guy bit the head off of a bat on stage. I feel like that information sticks with you.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, we're talking about it.
Yeah, and I knew what he was I wasn't born until 1991. And I knew what he was talking about. So
I was born in the 80s. I get a pass.
But also, like, I was raised on this
music.
This music. So
you guys tell us. Hit us up on Instagram. Did you know Ozzy Osbourne bit the head off of a bat?
Right.
That guy from those reality shows?
Did you know that he did that?
I'm sure you did. We're being a little patronizing right now.
I'm being facetious. No, but some people might not know.
Maybe.
Some people might not know who Ozzy is.
He still had his brain at that point too. This wasn't like
this was before he couldn't speak clearly.
Yeah, this wasn't him like losing all lucidity and biting the head off of a bat. Like,
no, he did this for some shiggles on stage.
It was supposed to be plastic. It wasn't plastic. He was not happy.
Yeah.
Also, during that whole conversation, it's great because Eddie was like, Henderson said you were a badass, insisted on it. And
because he's jealous.
He's really jealous of Steve. He's like, I don't know why, but I really care what that kid thinks.
Because it's Dustin, and Dustin's just a genuine good dude.
It's true. And then, you know, it all culminates in Eddie being like, you gotta go get that girl, man.
Eddie ships Steve and Nancy.
Stancy.
Stancy.
He's a Stancy shipper.
That is their ship name. Stancy.
All right, we'll stop talking about this. Let's move on all to... Right,
we're back to the Wheeler's house where Dustin and...
Lucas.
I was going to say Dustin and Eddie. Oops, sorry. Dustin and Lucas fill Erica in on the haps. The happenings.
The happy haps?
The happy haps. And this is when Dustin figures out what's happening with the gates.
Yeah, why they're opening.
Why they're opening. But they do have one mistake. They still think that the Mind Flayer
is in charge.
In charge.
And I think this is interesting.
And it would make sense for them to think that.
It does.
Because they all saw it.
It does. This is an instance of us as an audience having more information than the characters.
Yes. Dramatic irony.
Well, dramatic irony, but it also ruins the twist, quote unquote, because the show really does treat it like a twist, him having power over the Mind Flayer. They act like this is some big revelation, mm-hmm. but anybody who's been watching from the beginning of the season is like, oh no, he's the one in charge. Like, it's pretty, we thought that after like episode two.
We figured it out, but I don't know that everybody, like, that's necessarily something that everybody, like the casual watcher is gonna...
You think?
Yeah.
I thought it was really obvious that's what they were building up.
But this is also how we watch shows.
This is how we rewatch shows.
But this is also how we watch shows. This is how we watch this show.
Okay.
Some people don't. You know, be entertained.
Here's another call out to our audience of...
When did you know Vecna was...
The big bad.
The big bad. When did you know he was in charge? Hit us up on Instagram. Send us a message or in the comments of a post.
Maybe we'll make a poll.
Oh, like we could do a poll.
Yeah.
We could do a poll. When did you know? Oh, yeah. Maybe I'll do a poll tomorrow. After the episode is out, because we want people to listen to it first.
Yeah. And we'll say, when did you know? Before the reveal or after?
After the reveal. Yep. Be on the lookout for that.
So, yeah. He figures out that psychic connections powerful enough to open gates will open gates. So that's where they are, and then we cut back to Nancy going into her room in her house in the Upside Down.
Because she has guns. But
she doesn't. There's like ballet shoes in there. She also calls out a few different things that are in the room that shouldn't be. Mm-hmm. She mentions the dog doll that she gave away 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. There is controversy around this dog doll. You're the one who told me about this.
Yeah, but we have to watch that episode to make sure that that's the thing. Because
that's why I made a note of it.
Yeah,
because I have the image of that dog burned into my memory.
After seeing the dog, I don't think that's what it was at in the finale. I think it was a bear. But I'm not 100%.
We will revisit
that. I'm glad you wrote that down. But she looks at her, like, she finds these, you know, flashcards from studying, and she says these are from sophomore, whatever, science. And she looks at her journal, and the journal, the last journal entry is from November 6th, 1983.
The day Will went missing. The day that Will
went missing. The Upside Down is stuck the day that Will went missing.
Maybe.
Maybe.
She says, we're in the past, and I feel like that's a weird jump to make. Because when we saw that date, my first thought was, that's the day the Upside Down became Hawkins.
That's, yeah. Like, we both are kind of on the same train that when Will got taken, that's kind of, like, he helped kind of shape it into what he knew. He knew Hawkins.
Because he was the second human being in the Upside Down.
As far as we knew, nobody else had been taken to the Upside Down.
Right.
And I saw something, I don't remember if it was on Instagram or TikTok, but it was, when Will gets taken, you don't see what takes him. And there's some speculation that it might not have been the Demogorgon, that it might have been, a person.
A person?
Like, it could have been Vecna.
So,
but I don't know if that's...
We did have the comic book.
Right.
The comic book kind of implies that he fell through a portal.
Mm-hmm.
But that's also super unclear. So maybe a Vecna tentacle did grab Will and pull him in. It's possible.
Who knows?
Will also, it couldn't have been the Demogorgon. Because if it was the Demogorgon, he'd have been dead.
Will would not have survived. Will would have been eaten.
Will somehow entered the Upside Down completely unbeknownst to himself.
Scot-free, yeah.
It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And if they don't get into it in the final season of the show, I'm going to be very upset.
A lot of people probably will. I'm still, and we're gonna have like a whole episode where we just like theorize about season 5 because we're coming up to the end of season 4. But I am a firm believer. I'm a firm believer of the camp that Will is going to play a massive role in season 5.
If he doesn't, it's a waste of so much character building.
You know, why it started with him, like, that's like the thing that everybody, it starts with Will, it's going to end with Will. I firmly believe that.
I agree. I
firmly believe that.
So, then we get into this light thing. This still doesn't make any sense to me. I don't get it. Where is this coming from?
I don't know. It is how Will... what the heck? Sorry.
We are in the middle of a podcast.
It is how Will...
We are podcasting.
I'm sorry.
And this woman doesn't silence her cellular telephone.
It's silenced. It is how, you know, Will communicated through the lights.
Yeah, but... No, I get it. It's just...
They're trying to show you how it works with, like, the particle things, but...
There's too many issues here. Like, I understand why lights flicker when Eleven or Vecna do anything. Like, this is massive psychic energy that causes lights to flicker and go crazy and stuff. Why do lights flicker for the Demogorgon? Why do lights flicker for monsters? Is this just because they're, like, running around through these light particles? Because...
So, okay, I would say for the Demogorgon and, like, the monsters from the Upside Down, it's because they're connected to that psychic energy.
Are they, though? Like, the Upside Down itself is just a hive mind that Vecna inserted himself into.
Right, but it's a hive mind. It's all connected.
That doesn't necessarily mean there's a psychic connection.
I don't know. That's
no, my, I mean, it's a thought. Good excuse. Like, it works as an excuse. I don't think
I wasn't giving you an excuse. excuse. I was giving you my thoughts and reasoning.
I'm saying it's an excuse for the writers, not for you. I'm just saying I don't think they thought this through and took all the previous seasons into account when they decided that there are magic magic particles around electronic devices that let you turn them on and off.
So what I don't understand, I don't know. Do we want to get into that? We're already like 35 minutes in.
Maybe that's the last thing we'll talk about.
Because I have a question regarding the lights, but it happens a little bit after.
Yeah, let's get into it. Because I know what you're going to ask.
We'll leave off with this. Steve can hear Dustin in the upside down.
Yeah.
So they use the lights and Eddie signals SOS to them. And that's where we will leave off. Because my question regarding all of this happens later on in the episode.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still about the lights and stuff. So.
Is it? Just let me ask.
It's with the light bright.
Is it because the light bright's turned off and there shouldn't be any particles?
Yes! Yes!
Like, yeah, they break their own rules as soon as they establish them.
Off. I don't understand. Like, they turn it off in the right side up.
So
but shouldn't
so
it
then
need
the,
to be on?
Yeah, the little particles shouldn't exist. Like, the implication.
Right, the particles should not exist in the upside down if the light source is off in the right side up. Is that correct?
Correct.
Right, because the light is on in the dining room kitchen in the right side up, which is why they have the particles in the upside down around that chandelier.
I also just realized why this doesn't work is according to what we learned from previous episodes.
Because, sorry, we're supposed to end.
Because, correct me if I'm wrong, when they're following Vecna through the house,
mm-hmm.
did they turn their lights off or on to see if they got brighter?
So they had them on, I think, when they first got there.
Mm-hmm.
And then they, like, once they found whoever had it, they were playing, like, they, like, jumped. They would, like, they all turned it off except for the one that had him. And then when he jumped to the next one, theirs went on.
Okay, so then for all of these, he's walking through these particles.
Mm-hmm.
Turning the electronics that are off on.
Yeah.
So I guess that establishes how that works.
How it could work with it being off.
But also, let's take a second and, like, that was Vecna. So isn't the implication that there's some kind of psychic reason that the lights are flickering? Like, the same reasons they do for the monsters? But that's not what's happening. He's walking through these light particles.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, Vecna doesn't notice these little light particles he's walking through in his own house?
Mm. My God.
That are following him?
They're moving with him.
Like, this makes more problems than it solves. No,
he might, though. He might, because at this point, he already, like, when that happens, he already didn't get Max.
Right.
So he's already, you know, he's like, at this point, he's toying with them. That could be that what's happening there. He's letting them do it. He's letting them have their fun. He's playing with his food, like we said he does, because he's trying. He's got that, like, spider.
Yeah. Okay, so element. Okay, so they're standing there in the little circle, and he's making all of their lights go crazy. And then he connects himself to the upside down through his tentacles and lets off massive psychic energy and makes all of their lights explode. So then the upside down naturally creates these light particles that interact with the right side up, but they have to be connected to some kind of electrical source, like, I guess, batteries or being plugged into a wall. So weird. Okay. Electrical signals travel between dimensions. Cool. Even when they're not turned on. Cool. And then also on top of that, using his psychic energy makes everything explode. So his psychic energy, like, supercharged these particles.
Sure.
What the hell? What? Am I being ridiculous? This is so silly.
You're probably being ridiculous. You're probably You're going.
This is too, so silly.
You're going too far into the deep end.
Like, I don't know. This feels silly. This feels like we needed a reason for Will to be able to interact with the lights. Oh, let's bring that back, but we're going to have to show it from the other side now. How do we do that? I don't know. Magic dust.
Okay, John.
I mean, thank you, but seriously. All right, I'm done. I'm done. I'll let it go now.
Well, we're just going to talk about it next week with our part two. So.
No. I've said my piece. You know, I'll just tell everyone if they want to hear my thoughts, refer to the previous episode.
Okay. Well, on that note.
This has been fun. This is a fun one. We've been very burpy.
Well, I had a Coke and you're drinking a beer.
So. Yeah. Good times.
You know.
Signing off from the Hawkins Hellfire Collective, I'm Zach Grubb.
And I'm Devin Grubb. Dusty Buns gets it done.